He's considered by many to be the greatest Christian who ever lived. Countless numbers of people came to know Jesus, were saved through his ministry. He traveled across the known world at the time, going from place to place, city to city, town to town. And wherever he went, he introduced people to Jesus Christ. And many people got saved. And for those who got saved, he would gather them together and he would start new churches. In fact, he was responsible for starting at least 14 churches. And many, many people came to know Jesus Christ, but it wasn't easy because he was persecuted for being a Christian. He was arrested. He was beaten. He was flogged. He was shipwrecked. He was placed in prison. But that didn't deter him. He continued on his mission across the world to make a huge difference for Jesus Christ. He lived by the slogan, "For me to live is Christ. If I die, I gain," meaning I get promoted and I get to go to heaven. And he's the one who went to each of these places and he boldly declared, "I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, risen and reigning." And of course, by now, many of you have discovered and are figuring out who do many people consider to be the greatest Christian of all time? Well, none other than the Apostle Paul. But you know, as we look at the Apostle Paul this morning and we see him up on a pedestal, so to speak, and we're awed and wowed at what God did in him and through him, we've got to remember that the Apostle Paul was human. And in fact, the Apostle Paul struggled with sin in his life as a Christian. And in one part of a letter that he wrote to a new church in Rome, he openly and honestly revealed the struggle he had. He wrote an intense, honest, personal testimony of himself about his struggle with sin as a Christian that came from this conflict he had within himself between the sinful nature of the flesh and the Holy Spirit within. And we find this testimony in our Bibles. And you're welcome to open up and take a look at it for yourself. It's in Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 15, where Paul, the Apostle Paul, considered to be the greatest Christian of all time, makes this profound statement in a personal testimony. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. He writes, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Oh, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. A personal testimony from the Apostle Paul, whom many believe is the greatest Christian of all time. But did you notice that after he gave his testimony of his struggle with sin in this life, he knew the answer to his sin? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in the same breath as he wrote this statement, he makes this profound statement, which is the result of knowing Jesus. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that is the main verse that we are focusing in on today. And that's what this new sermon series is all about. Each week, we're focusing our attention on one verse primarily. We're looking at the verses around in the context, but we're taking one profound verse and we're learning from it. And I truly believe if you know the verse, if you apply the verse, if you understand what it means, it can literally transform your life. So listen up as today we take a closer look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Well, as you see, obviously today we've landed in the book of Romans. You always need to know where you've landed when you begin to study Scripture. Romans is a letter in the New Testament. It's the sixth book in our New Testament of our Bibles. The author is none other than the Apostle Paul. The date was probably around 57 AD when he wrote it. And the recipients are the church, the Christians, the new Christians at the church in Rome. The major theme is the gospel. He says there's a righteousness from God that has been revealed to humankind. And the righteous will live by faith. And he goes to bring the good news, because that's what gospel means. It means good news. And the emphasis of this letter is on salvation in the first part and then sanctification in the second. Salvation is that moment when you truly believe in your heart that Jesus died for you and rose again. Sanctification is living out the Christian life. In the book of Romans, the purpose is number one. He's preparing the way for a visit that he's going to make to the church. And he gives them teaching. He wants to provide this solid foundation of truth that they can build on before he arrives. And he also gives an explanation of the relationship between Jews and Gentiles. That was a big issue at the time. So this is the purpose, and we've landed in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 1. Let's say the verse together as you see it up there. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Notice how it begins with the word therefore. The word therefore is a directive in your Bible. If you write in your Bible, you can circle the therefore, and then an arrow goes back because it refers to something that was previously taught. There are many scholars who will tell you they believe that the therefore is referring to all that Paul had taught up to this time. Namely, the main theme of it all, a key doctrine of the faith, justification by faith alone, and that the culmination and the direction for therefore could go right back to verse 25 of chapter 7. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Justification by faith alone. Have you ever heard of that phrase before? Did you know that this is might be the most important doctrine that's taught in the Bible? In fact, this doctrine, this truth, this reality distinguishes Christianity from all the different religions of the world. What does it actually mean? Justification by faith alone. Well, we're going to transition into a teaching time here with this verse. Justification by faith alone means that God pardons, God forgives any person who puts his or her faith and trust in Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus paid the punishment for sin in full by his death on a cross and secured eternal life in heaven by his resurrection. Okay. In my mind's eye, I'm picturing a person who's in a courtroom, and the person is coming before the judge. The person has already been declared guilty. There was a mountain of evidence. There were eyewitness testimonies. There were experts who testified. It's clear the person is guilty. The person has committed serious crimes. He's in the courtroom. He comes before the judge. And all of a sudden, the judge makes an astounding offer. He says, "My very own son has agreed to pay the punishment that you deserve for your crimes. My very own son will pay the penalty in full for you. I'm willing to pardon you. I'm willing to let you go. I'm willing to forgive you of all the wrongdoing you've done in your life." In a similar way, that's what happens when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The judge our wonderful, mighty God will forgive and pardon you because his very own Son secured your place in heaven and paid the punishment in full. Now, what does the Bible say about justification by faith? Well, let's take a look at the book of Romans. Let's walk along the Romans road. Romans 3, 23 to 25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. As we walk along the Romans road, we are in Romans 5, 1 and 2, and verse 8. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And as we walk along the Romans road, we land in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we finish off with Romans 7, 25. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, in light of these amazing truths, we could say, as a result, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8, 1. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is now, that means today, right now, at this present time, this is actually true. That means you don't have to wait until you become a better person. You don't have to wait until you perform good works or rituals. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this is true at that very moment of belief. You know, when you study all the different religions of the world, except for Christianity, when you look at all the different religions of the world except for Christianity, you could label all the religions of the world with the word D-O, do, because they're all based on what you need to do, what you need to perform, what you have to get right in your own life in order to be accepted by God, approved by God, loved by God. Islam is a perfect example. It is mandatory for any Muslim to follow the five pillars of Islam. And if you don't, you're not going to be approved and accepted by their God called Allah. And even if you do, you're not guaranteed to go to paradise. You understand that? That's one example. Christianity is labeled by the word D-O-N-E, done. Because Jesus Christ did for you what you couldn't do for yourself. He died on the cross. It's all been done for you. When you take a look at the religions of the world, you have to wait before you can be approved and accepted. Not with Christianity. There's no wait. At the moment of faith, the moment you believe, you get all the rights, benefits, and privileges of being a son or daughter of God. With the religions of the world, the pressure is on you. You have to perform. You have to get it right. You have to make your life work. Otherwise, you don't get the benefits. Not with Christianity. The pressure's off. It's already been done for you. Jesus accomplished it on the cross. And you were given the gift of faith to believe that, to have it come true. Do you see the big difference between Christianity and all the different religions of the world? You're justified by faith alone as a Christian. Amen. Let's say the verse again. Romans 8, 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The word no is an emphatic adverb. It means to stop something completely. Most of you know that the New Testament was written in the Greek language. And so when Paul wrote it, he wrote it in the Greek language. And the word no, N-O, is the first word in the sentence. That's for emphasis purposes. No condemnation. He wants to make it clear. that condemnation has stopped completely. And what is condemnation? Well, it's a legal term that means the sentencing that occurs for someone who committed a serious crime. It's the penalty that a guilty verdict renders. And we're told there's no condemnation. And this is huge because the penalty for our sin, the bad things we say, the bad things we do, the bad things we think, is death. And this is eternal separation from God forever, is the penalty. And that's a huge penalty. But now, it says, today, right now, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And why is that true? Because Jesus Christ completely and permanently paid the penalty for sin, which is condemnation of death. Condemnation to death. So when it comes to being a Christian, there's no condemnation. There's no sentencing before God as the judge. There's no punishment before God as the judge. There's no penalty before God as the judge. And there's no judgment for your sin because the eternal death penalty has been paid in full by Jesus Christ. Genuine Christians are declared permanently pardoned. Hallelujah! Permanently pardoned because Jesus Christ died and rose again. And it brings this wonderful, most magnificent scripture verse to light, that God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in union with Him we might become the righteousness of God. That when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, you have a right standing with God, you have a right relationship with God, and you're enabled to live rightly for God. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Romans 8:1. Let's say it again. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Notice that there is a contingency to the verse. Did you pick up on that? It's only for those who are in Christ Jesus. What that means is that justification is only applicable, only applies to those who by faith trust in Jesus Christ, His death, and His resurrection. It's only for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, this is a mystery, is it not, to be in union with Christ? I admit that it's a mystery, but at the same point, it's a powerful reality. And what it means is you're not only pardoned and justified, set free, forgiven of all your sins, but you actually come in spiritual union with Jesus Christ permanently. That's because there's an intimate, ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ by means of the Holy Spirit. That at the moment that a person truly believes in his or her heart, an amazing, mysterious miracle takes place. God's Spirit actually comes to live inside of you. And you have this relational component now. You now become friends with God. You now have a relationship with God. You now connect with God at a spiritual level. And that's what's being taught in this verse. But it says it's only for those who are in Christ Jesus. And when that occurs, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, then Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 comes alive in your life. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. Hallelujah. And let's say our verse again, Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to bring all the teaching from this morning together in one statement. I came across, I think, just a marvelous statement by a scholar that I studied this week. His name is Jack Cottrell. Listen to what he writes as he brings it all together from Romans chapter 7, verse 15, through Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He writes this: even though sin still lives in our bodies, causing us at times to do sinful things, Christians can be assured that these sins will not condemn us because Christ has already died for them and we belong to Christ. Though we still sin, we are justified by His blood. There is no penalty for us, none of any kind. No damnation or eternal hell awaits Christians after death. And even the sting of physical death has been blunted by the promise of resurrection from the dead. What a statement. What a scripture. What an amazing truth. What a transformation when you believe it. It's absolutely amazing. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Let's say it together. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I close with the application. And there's one thing after the application now that I think about it. But you know, oftentimes when you come to a portion of Scripture, could be any Bible verse, one of the questions you ask is, well, what am I supposed to do now? How do I apply that to my life? What do I need to do? It's important to remember that many of the verses that are given to us in the Bible are simply given to us to believe. We're just supposed to believe the truth. That's the application of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, is to believe the truth, that you transfer it from your mind into your heart. It becomes part of your core belief system. Now, on a personal level, I want to tell you that Romans 8, 1 has made a huge difference in my life. I can relate to the Apostle Paul. I struggle with sin in my own life, and I do every day. So I was thinking about it this week, about the sins that I struggle with. So much of it is in my mind, you know, where you struggle with your thought life. Does anyone else struggle with your thought life? And I think about all the different thoughts and the different things that go through my mind. You know, I come to God in prayer several times a day, maybe even more than that, because I need to confess my sin. I need to acknowledge God. I think one of my greatest sins when I think about my life is ignoring God. Does anyone else do that? You can go hours at a time, am I right? Things are going well, but there comes a time where you got to stop and reconnect with God and reestablish that relationship. And for me, it goes something like this. It's, I'll come before God and I'll confess my sin, whatever it is, and say, oh God, but then I say, right now, there's no condemnation because I belong to Jesus Christ. That's the way I put it. I say, my sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. There's no condemnation for me right now because I belong to Jesus Christ. Do you see how that works? We're going to do something fun with Romans 8:1. I had you repeat it a bunch of times because I want you to memorize it. I want you to make it a part of your life. That is a great way to apply this, to memorize it and to say it to yourself and to utilize it as you go along your day, each day, whether you're working at Walmart or wherever you might be. You might be at home, you might be in your car. But all of a sudden, I want you to be mindful of Romans 8:1, right? When you realize that you've gone off the track a little bit in your life, where you stop whatever you're doing, and you can say Romans 8:1. So repeat after me, Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Yeah, you repeat after me. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation. For those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, that sounds great. I love to hear that over and over and over again. I don't know about you, but it is a relief, is it not, to know that? It's absolutely powerful. That's where your scripture card comes in. We ask you to use it, to memorize it, to get it down. And now I close with Some might say the greatest verse of all time, John 3:16, but 17 and 18 go along with John 3:16. Let me read it to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. In my mind's eye, I'm traveling back to that person who's standing before the judge. The person has been declared guilty. They've committed some serious crimes. The evidence has been stacked up. The eyewitnesses and the testimony of experts prove the person is guilty. And the judge makes an astounding offer. My son has agreed to pay the punishment in full for the crimes that you committed. But if you think about it, that needs to be accepted, does it not? The person could say, oh no, I won't accept the fact that the son will take the punishment for me. I'll take the punishment myself. You know that's true of us spiritually? You can reject Christ. You can say no to this great offer. You can say, no, I'll go my own way, live my own life. Thank you very much. I don't need that payment. But if you go that way, you'll have to pay the punishment yourself for your sin. And I don't know about you, but I can't even imagine what it would be like to come into the presence of a holy God and not have your sins forgiven. I wanted to close with this because I'm not assuming that every single person in here has made that decision yet. Maybe you're here today and you've never truly in your heart put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It is an historical fact that can be proven. There is a mountain of evidence that proves the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a moment of embracing the truth, of saying, I believe the truth of history. I've messed up. I need Jesus. I want to be forgiven. I want to go to heaven. Do you have that desire in your heart today? Am I speaking to you? Maybe you've not done that yet. And maybe you're thinking about it. It's a simple prayer, but it's a sincere prayer from your heart, where in your mind you understand, and now your heart is open of saying, yes, I believe in Jesus. I accept Jesus as my personal Savior and the leader of my life. So I'm going to close this message with a prayer, praying for all of us. If you want to recommit during this prayer, that's fine too, but it's designed for those who haven't accepted Christ. I want you to repeat the prayer after me. It's just a simple prayer, but if you say it to yourself and you truly believe it for the first time, your sins will be forgiven, you'll get to go to heaven, and you can declare Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So please join me. Let's just close our eyes for a moment, and I'll pray. And you just need to repeat the prayer after me if you want to accept Jesus Christ today. There's no better time than right now. Dear God, I know that I've messed up. I know that I have sinned against a holy God. I know that I have done wrong, and I've done wrong against you. But today, I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus died on the cross to pay the punishment that I deserve for my sin. I believe that Jesus rose from the grave. I believe he gave me the gift of eternal life. And so right now, I embrace Jesus Christ. I believe he died on the cross and rose again. Thank you, O God, for uniting me with the Lord Jesus. Thank you that I can now truly say with confidence in my heart, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen.